Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Anna Daly in for Andrea today, and it's time for Making Babies. Today we are talking about morning sickness, and Professor Shane Higgins, consultant obstetrician and gynaecologist at the National Maternity Hospital, Holles Street, joins me now. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Anna.
Shane, since the last time we spoke, the baton has been handed over, role. How does that feel?
Well, you mentioned it earlier. It's a calendar term of 7 years. I loved every minute of it. There were some difficult and challenging times. We went through COVID, cyber attack, a few other issues. But I did really, really enjoy it. And I think it's an easy job to do when you have such phenomenal staff working with you to promote women's health, to lead in terms of development of services. So I've really, really enjoyed the 7 years. Obviously, it's something because I enjoyed it so much, I miss. There's a fantastic new master in place and has been there since the 1st of January. And I'm there to support her in any way I can over the course of her term. And obviously, there's a transition period where things that I would have been involved with, now Jenny's very much involved with and to the fore and leading. And if there's anything I can do, I do it for her.
And I could see that happening, that you'll be available to help her in the new role. But also, does it make you more available to your patients and more hands-on, Shane Higgins?
I would have described the master's role as 80% admin, 20% clinical, and now it's 80% clinical, 20% admin. So you just reverse back out. But I think the master is a very unique role. It's a clinical CEO role. So the master continues to do some clinical work, and previous masters and successive masters will do that. So I just go back to being more of a full-time clinician now. But obviously, I sit on the board of the hospital now, and I'm involved in various committees, and also will continue to work on the project, the relocation, which I was on since 2013 when it was initiated.
Yeah, you won't escape any of that stuff.
I'd like not to escape, yeah. There's plenty of downtime.
Well, congratulations on
Thank you very much, Anna. Thank you.
Well, I've gone completely off script by asking Shane Higgins those questions, by the way, but that's just me being nosy about the role of the master and the handover and all. It's like a presidential role, really, isn't it? Well, we get to the topic of morning sickness, because probably people at home shouting at the radio going, get on with the morning sickness questions.
Yeah.
Who gets it, first of all, Shane?
Well, let's start with a spectrum of disease. The actual term hyperemesis gravidarum refers to a very small group of women who have the most extreme form of the illness, where they lose body weight. It can have quite profound effects on them mentally and physically. And then there's patients who have severe nausea and vomiting, mild nausea and vomiting. So it is quite a significant spectrum. Some patients will manage themselves and won't seek additional support and help. And then towards the other end of the spectrum, there are patients who will require a lot of support, psychological support, emotional support, and the physical support by way of fluids, medications. Who gets it? Anyone can get it. If you've had it before, you're more likely to get it again. If you've multiple pregnancies, you're likely to get it to a greater, more severe degree. But it can strike at random. Some patients will have symptom-free pregnancies and some will be dreadfully bothered.
Okay. Is it not normally for most pregnant women in the earlier stages?
Yes,
and then
is.
You get to a point where it stops?
Yeah, so typically it would settle with or without medication or pharmacology or fluids by about 15 to 17 weeks. For a small number of women, it will continue beyond that, and it can be quite debilitating. Mm. And some patients will be on medication. The first line medication we use now is a drug called Caraban. Some will be on that for the duration of their pregnancy, either at the full dose, which is 40 milligrams a day, or at a lesser dose, just to keep the symptoms at bay.
And when you say medication, you know, straight away, I think when you're pregnant, you're afraid to take anything.
Sure. Absolutely.
So obviously there's a certain medication
there's lots of medications
prescribed by your consultant.
Yeah. There's lots of medications that we would have used down through the years, which would be considered very safe. But medication may not be the first line. So if somebody starts to become nauseous and start to experience vomiting in early pregnancy, what they can do themselves at home is they can try breaking their food down into small frequent meals, slightly more bland food. They can use things like C-bands, which are acupressure points. They can go for acupuncture. These are all the kind of more non-pharmacological homeopathic approaches. But then if they are really struggling and They're physically weak. They're not able to eat or drink. Then it's a combination often of IV fluids with vitamin replacements and pharmacology, medication to help them. We in Hollis Street, we run a clinic dedicated to looking after patients who are at the more severe end of the spectrum. It's called the Iris Clinic, and patients can self-refer to that clinic if they are really suffering.
Wow, okay. I think of Kate Middleton when I think about the extreme morning sickness because it became really topical, didn't it?
Yes,
that
it
she
did.
Was hospitalised mid-pregnancy.
And there are lots of patients with, you know, that aren't necessarily covered in the media who really, really suffer, who come into the hospital twice, three times a week for IV fluids, who are on medication, who are praying for that day when things seem to settle. And as I said, it's often around 15 to 17 weeks. For some, it'll be a little bit earlier. And occasionally for patients, unfortunately, it continues beyond that point.
And for some, it can continue for the entire run of 40 weeks.
Yes, it can.
Let me get to some of these questions. Everyone tells me that the nausea will lift after 12 weeks. I'm nearly 11 weeks now and trying to plan ahead, but I can't imagine I'll ever feel normal again. Does it just lift automatically, or should I do anything?
It doesn't lift automatically. The majority of patients will see some improvement in their symptoms. Some, as this patient might think, from 12, but from my experiences, it's more like the 15 to 17 weeks by the time you really start to see an improvement. You're able to eat normally. If the patient is really suffering, is really struggling to keep food down, to get fluids in, and they should be, you know, pregnant women should be drinking somewhere in the region of 3 litres of fluid a day. If you really are struggling and you're suffering the consequences, fatigue, dehydration, headaches, absolutely contact your healthcare provider, your maternity hospital, see if they run a service where they can replenish IV fluids. You come in for an afternoon, you get 3 litres of fluid, you feel fantastic afterwards, and then slowly over a 3 to 5 day period, you'll start to struggle and suffer again, and you just go back for more.
And is that's not necessarily a hospital stay, Shane?
No, it's not a hospital stay.
That's a few hours.
In fact, we do our absolute utmost to keep people out of a hospital bed. So you come in, you sit in a reclining chair, you get IV fluids, and you go.
Okay, and you're hydrated.
Electrolyte balance corrected, or imbalance corrected. If you need medications, they'll consider it, give you a prescription at the time. So it's a kind of a holistic approach to patients who suffer from that particular condition, which, you know, I don't mean to trivialise it. It's dreadful for all women, but there are real extremes of the condition where patients really suffer.
And anyone who's been sick will know the headaches and the tiredness. There's fallout from being sick, isn't there?
Absolutely. And that fallout can almost be as debilitating as the actual vomiting itself.
Of course.
And the impact on your emotional and mental well-being is quite significant also.
Well, especially for women, I'm thinking, who are trying to do a job.
Yeah.
You know, and trying to function.
Yeah.
At full level. I'm 6 weeks pregnant and finding it incredibly difficult to eat anything at all. I can stomach meals, but I don't have any sort of an appetite, and I find I need to force myself to eat them. I want to make sure that I'm staying fit and healthy. What should I do? Are there any foods that you would recommend?
Yeah, look, I mean, we often talk about, first of all, little and often. So break your meals down to several smaller meals per day. Bland food, crackers, dry toast, cheese, bananas, good combination. And don't worry about what nutritional needs the baby have. The baby's tiny at this period of the pregnancy, and they just take what they need from your body and leave you with what's left behind. So don't worry about that. Just try and get some nutrition on board on a daily basis. Fluids are really important. Patients don't think it, but their basal metabolic rate goes up in pregnancy. They burn more fuel. A byproduct of that is heat, and that has to escape your body. So you're losing fluid through dehydration all the time. So you need to replenish that to remain well. And that's about 3 litres of fluid a day. That's all fluid. That's your juices, your coffees, your soft drinks, your water. But you need to be drinking lots of fluid, and often carrying a sports bottle around with you. So, you know, that's 500 mils and that's another 500. So you can actually calculate and quantify what you're drinking on a daily basis.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. I'm 16 weeks and still find myself throwing up most days. Any advice?
Yeah, so if you're not on med, if you are 16 weeks and you're still throwing up, if you don't see any improvement creeping into the situation, then absolutely go and get some medication. Caraban, it's a 40 milligrams a day. You take it 10 in the morning, 10 in the afternoon, 20 in the evening. You will feel better. The symptoms may not go completely. You will feel better. It will allow you to, as you say, continue with as normal a daily life as you can, i.e. going to work, looking after the other children, etc.
Mm-hmm. I sailed through my first pregnancy, going to the gym, feeling great. I'm nearly 8 weeks pregnant now and feeling awful, completely exhausted. Why is this pregnancy so different to the last?
So a couple of things you have to rule out. First of all, you're only having one baby, because it is commoner with multiple. So if you've not had a scan already, that would be one of the things just to go and check. If this is an out of the blue type of situation and you didn't have it in your first pregnancy, also check your thyroid function. And if you have any symptoms related to gallbladder, which can often manifest with nausea and vomiting, then it's something to check out as well.
Is that a blood test, Shane?
No, it would probably be an up. You'd need to have some symptoms of upper abdominal, right upper quadrant pain. But if you have problems and pain, particularly after eating, you might just merit an upper ultrasound, an upper abdominal ultrasound to rule out gallstones. But the fact that you didn't have it in your first pregnancy, unfortunately, doesn't mean you might not get it in your second or subsequent. So it could simply be nausea and vomiting associated with pregnancy.
Okay. And is there a difference with having a boy or a girl, Shane?
No, none whatsoever.
Okay.
None.
Look at me trying to put myself in your doctor's shoes. My partner's so tired in her pregnancy that that we can't do anything in the evenings or at weekends anymore. She's 14 weeks and we're wondering, is this sort of extreme tiredness normal or can she take any supplements? We want to share the news with friends and family, but she doesn't feel up to it as she doesn't have any or enough energy.
Yeah, so that's a common enough feature. Listlessness, fatigue, lack of energy. When you go for your booking visit, you're going to get a battery of blood tests done, which will rule out things like anemia or iron deficiency. And again, my experience with my own patients is that around about the 20 week, they suddenly get this lift in energy and feel like they're able to do the things that they weren't able to do since the start of pregnancy again. And that's fantastic if that happens. General mineral vitamin supplements, there are lots of them in any sort of pharmacy you go into. You'll see shelves of them, and they often now break them down into trimester specific supplements. So first trimester, second trimester, taking something like that won't in any way be harmful and may give you a little bit of a lift. But I think, again, going back to the fluid, I can't emphasize how important enough getting that fluid into you is, and it will make you feel so much better if you can get the 3 liters. If you're struggling and it's associated with the nausea and vomiting, again, get some IV fluids at the local hospital.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good advice. I actually think I was about 14 weeks when I remember trying to watch a movie and 10 minutes in, I'd be asleep.
Yeah.
And I'm a complete night owl, so that would completely go against, you know, my normal behaviour. But I think you do come through that.
You do, and as I said, it's often around the 20 weeks, but I think people kind of hit a wall when they become pregnant and can't really appreciate why, because they're not carrying that much extra weight and the baby isn't that big. But that's not the, this is your physiological response to just being pregnant, and that's one of the effects it has. So you just got to deal with it until such time as it lifts.
Okay. A friend recommended ginger for nausea in pregnancy. Is that worth trying?
Yeah, I'd lump that. I would put that into the basket of homeopathy. So the C-bands, ginger sweets, ginger nut biscuits. They are the remedies and the therapies you can try yourself without going to seek any professional help with.
Yeah, there's little bags of crystallized ginger you can buy in the health food shops. Yeah. Kind of handy to have in your handbag, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Okay, I think we've time for one more question, Shane. I feel so unwell as I'm pregnant and constantly feel sick. My employer is insisting I come into the office as I requested working from home. I'm not yet 12 weeks, but I'm finding the commute difficult. Should I explain my morning sickness as a reason to request working from home?
Well, absolutely.
You've probably heard that from your own patients before, Shane.
For sure, absolutely. And look, I don't think anyone who hasn't been in your shoes can appreciate what exactly you're going through. And I think if your employer doesn't listen and see reason in your request, then I think you can be signed off until such time as it. I don't think people appreciate just how unwell patients can be with this condition. I mean, it is a severely debilitating condition when it's there in moderate to extreme form. So seek to meet your employer and explain to them exactly what you're going through. But if they don't appreciate what you're going through, then look to your GP to sign you off for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hopefully they're tuned in.
Absolutely.
But otherwise, yeah, look for that that time off and look after yourself. It's a very difficult and a vulnerable time.
It is, and patients aren't telling their relatives or friends or colleagues at work because they're still in the first trimester. But, you know, if you have to go and speak to somebody in confidence, then do so and explain how how sick you are, because you might not even appear unwell to your colleagues at work.
Of course.
You really are struggling.
And you don't need that extra stress in your life either. Professor Shane Higgins, consultant, obstetrician and gynaecologist at the National Maternity Hospital. A fountain of knowledge as always. Thank you.
Thanks, Anna.
Racing through those questions.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.